And turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to get right into it and try to get this covered because I've got something else next week that I want to get to. And so I got to get busy. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, this is where we were last week, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Verse 5 is where we're at today. And by faith Enoch was translated, that he might not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, everyone say must believe, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God, everybody say warned of God. Yeah, we started with a warning, didn't we? Amen. You know, warnings aren't bad. Some people have this idea that church is supposed to be happy all the time. Is family happy all the time? Isn't there times when you warn your children? Yeah. And there are times when God will warn us. Isn't there times when you correct your children? And God will correct us. Amen. Isn't there times when you protect your children? And God will protect us. Yeah. And so we ought to be wise in these things. You know, sometimes you need a good stern rebuke. Yeah. Isn't that something? I'm reminded of Jesus. And in the book of John, it says that a lot of people that were following Jesus quit following Jesus. And he turns to his disciples and he said, you going to go too? Can you imagine? These were the faithful disciples, you know. Been with him everywhere. Yeah. And he said, you going to go too? I think that might have irritated some of them. We've been with you for 3.5 years, Jesus, you know. But you know, there's sometimes that the Lord will say things to us. For example, he said to that Syrophoenician woman, he said, it's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. That wasn't a pretty statement. When's the last time you've been called a dog? But it pulled something out of her. And so even if there's a time where the Lord corrects us, it's to pull something wonderful out of us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So here we are here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This is where we're going to be at today. Praise the Lord. Let's pray and ask Father's blessing. Thank you, Lord, Father, for your word and for leading us through your word. And thank you for eyes to see and hearts to understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church in this day. We trust you for it. We lean the soul of our spirit, the center of our being, to you, Holy Spirit, to be moved and led by you. Help us this day. We need your help. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. So we're starting with Enoch. And back in the fourth chapter of Genesis, you'll find this in the 16th verse. It says, And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. The word Nod means banishment. He was banished for his sin. And in verse 17, then it continues, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And of course, this is the answer to the age-old question that a lot of people who don't read their Bible will ask you, you know, where did Cain get his wife? Well, Cain got his wife by marrying his sister. That's the truth. And of course, in those days, there wasn't a lot of men and women running around on the earth today, or in that day. And so there was really kind of a short list of prospective people for wives. And so he married his sister. Now, do understand that in the book of the law, that was prohibited, marrying your brother or your wife is a no-no now, and that came through the law of Moses, you know. But Cain married his sister, and God allowed him to, and later then prohibited it. Okay, now verse 18, and unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat you know, our tongues just don't say these words. Jake. No. Mahujael. And Mahujael begat Methusael. And Methusael begat Lamech. Now we're going to run across the names of Lamech and Enoch in the line of Seth also in verse 25. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she has appointed, for God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain slew. And so Seth, which means substitute, was the substitute. He was the godly seed on the earth. After Abel had been slain, there needed to be another line in which to bring righteousness. And Cain and his offspring were evil. And, of course, we understand this, if you understand Bible history, that the Canaanites came through the land of Cain. Those that eventually brought trouble to the earth came through the line of Cain. Verse 26 continues, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and called his name Enos. And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I want you to get the picture here. We're outside of the place of perfection, Eden. And somehow or another, there came a time when men didn't call upon the name of the Lord. And so when Seth came, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And it was through the line of Cain that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Don't you ever think that family isn't important? God blesses this earth through families. Yeah. How many have ever heard of the God of Abraham? I'll tell you what, the whole earth has been blessed through Abraham. You know, we see the same thing happening in churches. You know, we've got the Kozad family. How many Kozads or related to Kozads are here today? I'm telling you, God has blessed this church through Kozads. God has blessed this church through Mussons. Amen. God has blessed this church through you. Isn't that something? And God uses families. I'm telling you, the church is sunk, listen to me, without strong, godly families. I'm telling you, this nation is sunk unless we have strong, godly families. Very important. Very important. Well, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21 through 24, and Enoch lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. How many have ever heard of Methuselah? And it's not the horror story thing, you know, all right? This Methuselah was one of the people that God was going to bless the earth through, all right? Methuselah, and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after You know, there's something about a little baby that changes everything. Isn't that right, Jerry Allen? Man, a baby, something about a baby that changes everything. I've watched stupid men become wise. It's an amazing thing. What's happened? It's serious now. It's not just me. I've got to protect this little one with my life. Amen? Yeah. And don't think that that's just happening in this day. It's always happened. And we have a picture of it right here. But there's more behind the scenes than you see here. We're going to look at that a little bit closer. So after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Everybody say he was not. We'll come back to that. For God took him. Amen. I like that. Well, of course, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 talks about that and just says it this way. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. Some people say, well, I have trouble believing that. Well, if you have trouble believing that, you're not going to believe when Jesus returns with the shout and he's going to translate us. Now, I believe I'm going to be there. Yeah, when the shout is made and Ken will disappear. And people will look for Ken, but he won't be anywhere around. Yeah, amen. Because he'll be with the presence of the Lord. Amen. Now, Enoch was the first one that saw this kind of thing. Amen. And not only did he walk holy, everybody say holy. It's a beautiful thing to see people walking in holiness. Amen. Enoch not only walked holy before God, he walked holy before men. His inward faith was exhibited to men. Amen. Demonstrated. His inward faith was demonstrated for all to see. You've heard Jesus say this. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You are. And if the salt's lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? How's the earth going to be changed? How are people going to be made hungry if you don't walk with God? Amen. If you don't show a difference to our society of what's right and what's wrong, how are they going to know any different? Most people don't read this book we call the Bible. And the only Bible they'll ever see is a person who's walking with Jesus in their heart. Amen. Our faith demonstrates to everyone what we believe. And whether you know it or not, people are paying attention. Your neighbors are paying attention. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. There's the picture of darkness covering the earth, and there's Jesus, the light of the world. But Jesus said, you. Not just Jesus, Jerry Allen. Yeah, not just Jesus. Amen. Joshua. Not just Jesus, Helen. Amen. Say it out loud. I am the light of the world. Yeah, the world needs to see the light of God through me. Amen. It's the absolute truth. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. What light's he talking about? Good works. Good works. Yeah. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. So now we're looking at this Enoch who for 300 years, think about that, walked with God. And his walk with God became so intense, one day God said, Enoch, just come home with me. Man, can you imagine kicking around with God the Father? Yeah, yeah. And of course, our verse that we just read is speaking, it says he was not, that means he didn't taste death. He's alive. Enoch is the type of the rapture of the church. whether you know it or not. Amen. And then the next four words in our verse is that he was not found. That means people looked for him. And the word testimony is the same Greek word as witness in the previous verse. A testimony, this testimony means that before Enoch left the earth, he left a witness, a testimony. He demonstrated a life that pleased God. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had it, but I have been to funeral services where I knew that these people, there was no question about it, that these people loved the Lord, trusted in the Lord, and I had no doubts. You know, for a preacher, that's the best kind of funeral service to have. It's so easy to minister to the family. You don't have to tell them. Everybody knows. Listen, these people knew God. Amen. Praise the Lord. No question about it. No. Enoch gave witness to the whole earth that he pleased God. Amen. He showed men that he pleased God. He showed men what it was like to be pleasing to God. Praise the Lord. And the thread that runs through all of these verses that we're looking at is that these people used their faith to please God and got results. Amen. Now, I want to go to Genesis chapter 5, and I was going to get my Phineas Dakes Bible out. My Phineas Dakes Bible is this big, and when it opens up, it's like a big table almost. And the print is 6 font. So I have to put on magnifying glasses to even see the thing. But he says something in his notes that are really quite wonderful. And I'm gonna set it up. Verse 21 and 22 of Genesis 5, we're going to find out what caused Enoch to walk with God. It says again, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now, Phineas Dakes, I've got my notes in front of me. Actually, this was just a little sidebar. It was about that wide and it was about that long in tiny print, all right? Could it be that something happened? Now, he's answering this question, why not before Methuselah was born? And he answers it this way. Could it be that something happened at this time that would have turned him to God? It's clear that at this time he did receive some kind of revelation from God. For he named his son Methuselah, which means, when he is dead, the deluge shall come. Now, the deluge, what's that talking about? That's talking about the great flood. So, God shows him, whether it's a vision, whether it's a witness of the Spirit, we don't know that, but shows him a revelation that this boy is really important, because when this boy dies, the flood will come. Yeah. Here, he also foretold of the second coming of Christ to destroy the ungodly. We're going to look at that in just a few minutes. These verses do not tell us what Enoch did before he begat Methuselah. I'll come back to Phineas here in a minute. We do know, however, that he did walk with God. This is just another reminder, too, that God's mercy is new every morning, which means at one point in time, Enoch was just as imperfect as you and me. And in that imperfect state, just like you and me, Enoch purposed that he was going to walk with God, and he walked with God. And I don't care how imperfect you are, how imperfect your life is, if you decide it's time for me to make a change, you can make a change. We call that, by the way, repentance. Yeah. Anytime that you see the need to draw nigh to God, you can draw nigh to God, and He's going to draw nigh to you. Amen. And so this is just a wonderful picture again. You know, we almost deify these guys, but they were human beings just like you are. You are. Amen. They get up on the wrong side of the bed. They chew on their wife or their husband, just like you might chew on your wife or your husband or your children or your boss or your president or your, yeah. I'm talking about myself there, you know. So here's this Enoch who's imperfect, and yet he walked with God. That should give you so much confidence that God will walk with you. I don't know how many people, and usually they're people that their lives aren't right with God, and they'll see me. Oh, Ken, if I ever came to your church, the walls would fall down. They think they're some great, grand sinner. Listen, we're all great, grand sinners that's been touched by Jesus and made saints. It don't come any other way. Amen? And so there's hope for all of us. And we can't look down on somebody because they're some rank sinner, because I was a rank sinner. We all started that way. Amen? Yeah. That's exactly right. Now, and I know you think that you was the greatest of all sinners, but you know the Apostle Paul thought he was the greatest of all sinners. Hello, anyone out there? And instead of competing for who's the greatest sinner, let's just compete for walking with God. Amen? So let me get back to my subject matter. But Methuselah, here he is. Methuselah is born, and if you trace it back, you'll find that when Methuselah, the year that Methuselah died, the flood came. When Methuselah was born, revelation or vision, I'm not sure which, because the Bible doesn't state which, Enoch saw his son as a living witness on the earth. And the day that his son would die would be the day that the flood came. And that as long as he's alive, God's mercy and long-suffering will not come to an end. But you know it did, didn't it? It's a sad time. You realize that Noah and his sons weren't the only people that were preaching about the flood. You know that? Noah and his sons weren't the only people that were preaching about the flood. Yeah. Let me read on about from Phineas Dake. He did receive a revelation from God, for he named his son Methuselah, which means when he is dead, the deluge shall come. And he also foretold the second coming of Christ to destroy the ungodly. That is, all his days on earth at that time, besides living 365 years on earth, he has now lived about 5,310. Now this was printed in 1963, so someone can do the addition if you would like, making him around 5,675 years that he's lived without death. He will return as one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelations to complete his earthly life and die, as is appointed to all men. It is said of each of the other men in this chapter that, quote, he died. Verse 5, verse 8, verse 11, verse 14. Every one of these men that are mentioned died, but Enoch did not die. He was not, for God took him. That is translation. He translated him without dying, as in the case of Elijah. And this is one of the briefest and the most outstanding biographies, one sentence revealing the history of 365 years, 300 of which were believing, humble, and a holy walk with God. the longest earthly life recorded. His father still lives in heaven and will live on earth and die as one of the two witnesses. Enoch, therefore, not Methuselah, is the oldest man alive. All men would have lived forever if man had not sinned. All will live forever physically in the new earth and carry out God's original program. And his the notes that he has there with that is Revelations 21. In other words, he's going to start something new. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So Enoch saw a day in which the Lord was going to judge the earth. Yeah. The book of Jude talks about Enoch too in verse 14. Let me read it to you. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. I'm going to tell you, Enoch was the first charismatic. Prophesied of these sayings. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. In other words, Enoch saw the day when the Lord would come out of heaven to execute judgment on all wickedness. Everyone say all wickedness. Yeah. Yeah, on the earth. With ten thousands of his saints. Enoch did not have one vision or revelation. He had two. He had a vision or a revelation of the time when the flood would come to destroy it. But he also had a vision of a day coming in which the Lord, with 10,000s of his saints, would come onto the earth. At that time, the evil of the earth would be destroyed and the millennial reign would begin. Now that's quite an event that when the earth is just in its beginning stages, he sees the end of all of it. Amen. I don't know if you remember this, but Jesus said this about the second advent. He said, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now this verse is talking about the coming of the Son of Man, the coming of Jesus with 10,000s of his saints. Now at the rapture, Jesus will come back for 10,000s of his saints. But at his revelation, he's going to come back with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. Yeah. Jesus continues, for as in the days of Noah were before the flood, they, unbelievers, were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The coming of the Son of Man, that in the days of Noah, all the unbelievers were removed off of the face of the earth. I want you to think about that. And God began a whole new dispensation. Noah marked a new dispensation on this earth. Yeah. And in the same way, when Jesus comes back, at the Battle of Armageddon, all the unbelievers will again be taken off of the earth. And the believers will settle into a whole new dispensation. Yeah. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Those two events are seen together by this man Enoch. Yeah. Now let's look again in Hebrews 11, because it should give you a little more, respect for this man Enoch. I mean, we read about this man and we think, ho-hum. But when you get an understanding of what God's talking about here, man, without faith, it's impossible to please him, verse 6 says. Yeah. You know, for most people, we're all the time trying to make ourselves perfect. And you know what God says is important? Trust. Believe. In your trust and in your believing, God's going to make your way perfect. God's going to change you and mold you. And so the point, what we should be telling people is not necessarily how bad of sinners they are, but tell them what the remedy for sin is. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Amen. That's a remedy. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so this verse is saying that men and women who are mentioned in the book of Hebrews 11, they had a faith on the inside of them, and their works were the product of their faith. James says that without faith, it's impossible. You know, without this faith, your works is dead. It's impossible to have good works without faith. Your faith must be in demonstration for the world to see. But we're not trying to produce something without having it first on the inside of us. And verse 6 again says, it's without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that approaches God must believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He is, and that He is a rewarder. We must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder. Now the first is, you notice it's mentioned twice, is mentioned twice. The first is actually He exists. You must believe He exists. God exists. You know, people live their whole life living like God doesn't exist. Now why do I say living like? I know there are a lot of people that say, I believe that God exists. But when you really believe God exists, there's going to be a change in your actions. You're motivated different than people. You're minding a different drummer. Yeah. Yeah. You must believe that He is, that He exists. And then the second is actually should be becomes. It would make it easier for you to understand what he's saying here. Becomes. God becomes our rewarder. God, it's beyond my imagination that God wants to become my rewarder because I believe He is. Yeah. He is my rewarder. Glory to God. Say it out loud. God is my rewarder. Yeah. You believe that? He is my rewarder. God is my rewarder. Glory to God. And the whole book of Hebrews tells us about this God who became the rewarder to those who diligently sought after Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the essence of who this man Enoch was. He believed God is. He exists. Man, I'm living my life with Him. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to talk with Him. Amen. Amen. I'm going to live with Him. I'm going to talk like He's with me everywhere because He is with me everywhere. There's never a moment that I'm alone. He is with me. Glory to God. Man, you talk about, yeah, trouble comes. I'm not alone in my trouble. Yeah, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. Yeah, He's in me. He's strengthening me. He's welling up in me His grace. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you know, there's no bondage. I've got a number of people in our church family. They've been delivered from all kinds of terrible things. Alcohol and drug lifestyle. Yeah, I think of one who was addicted to heroin and kicked the habit. Well, she didn't kick the habit, but the greater one that was on the inside of her. She humbled herself before God, and He raised her up and out of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, there's nothing impossible to those who will trust in Him. Nothing's impossible to you. Praise the Lord. Well, Enoch. Glory to God. I like Enoch. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Noah next. Verse 7, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah warned of God of things. I'm in trouble already, huh? Oh, Lord, do I want to do it? I'm going to do it. Praise the Lord. I better speak fast. By faith, Noah warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, motivated by reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Genesis 6 talks about him in verse 11. It says this, which really saddens me when I think about it, because I really believe we're living in the same day now. Can you imagine God who's created this earth and given mankind everything that we need to live and to live good, and mankind sins? And we see that the line that was with Abel was cut off early, and this was God's man. Abel was God's man. And so now Seth has to take his place. But by the time Noah comes around, here's what the Bible says. The earth also was corrupt before God. Man, that saddens my heart. Corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. I heard something that Rebecca said about a professor that she didn't care too much for this professor, but he said something that caught her attention. And he is teaching a religion class, and someone said that religion is violent, and that all people that are religious are violent people. And the professor disagreed, and he said the only reason that religion is violent is because people are violent. And you know what? God would agree with that, what that man's statement said. Notice it says, the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way on the earth. Incidentally, if you find some nincompoop accusing God for the judgments that have happened on this earth, don't side in with their arrogance and with their stupidity. Every one of us are looking at the earth now and seeing the violence of this earth. And here's a scripture verse that tells us all the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way on the earth. Do you understand what that's saying? No one. We're in trouble. The earth's in trouble. There's no godly seed. The whole earth has corrupted itself. And at this time then, Noah and his family, they're the only righteous people on the face of this earth. And all other flesh was perverted. Noah and his family preached righteousness in this kind of adversity. They preached judgment and the coming destruction. And not only did Noah preach it, but Noah's father, Lamech, preached it. And Noah's grandfather, Methuselah, preached it. And Noah's great-grandfather, Enoch, preached it. Don't tell me families aren't important to God. There was one line in one family, yeah, that was standing for God. Yeah, standing for God. Chapter 6 and verse 13, God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 17, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is in the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. And so God begins to describe what he's going to do, and that it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, literally covering the whole earth. Yeah. And water came up and water came down until all you could see was water. And before the time of the flood, it had never rained. It had never rained. Yeah. The earth was actually watered by a mist. Mm-hmm. The earth was watered by a mist that came up during the day. And when God told Noah that it was going to rain, Noah had no idea what he meant. Yeah. You look at Hebrews 11:7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And he believed. Yeah. He never saw any rain before, had no idea what it was, yet Noah believed God. Even when he had no comprehension to what it was. He was warned of things that no one had ever seen before his time. And when he began to preach it, the whole world laughed at him. And after 40 days and 40 nights of the rain, there was no canopy left around the earth. It had collapsed in the form of rain. That canopy that surrounded the earth, that was God's protection against all the negative things from the sun. I want you to know that Noah preached in his day. Amen. But there's going to come another day when the door will be shut, just like in Noah's day. And there's going to come another day where destruction will hit this earth, as in the day of Noah. And so shall it be as in the day of Noah, in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And he shall come with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on this earth. And Noah is our example for the days that we're living in right now. And just as Noah cashed in on his righteousness, you can cash in on your righteousness. Your righteousness will become an ark of safety for you. Amen. And Noah escaped the corruption of the earth and escaped his day. And God spared him. And you know what? There'll be a day when he spares us. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory be to God. We need not be afraid of that day which is to come. But we do need to warn everyone we can. And to touch everyone we can with the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll stop here. Whew. Thank you, Father. As is with every sermon that we ever hear, Lord, there is always a decision that we must come to. And your word declares that without faith it's impossible to please you. And if we're going to approach you, if we're going to come to you, Lord, we must believe that you exist, and we must believe that you're a rewarder of diligence. And the truth is, Lord, every one of our lives, if we were to look, stand back and to look at our lives, our individual life, and to look for evidence, and to look for evidence that we truly believe, Lord, there may be some of us that find themselves wanting. And so I'm praying, Father, that this serious issue of faith, that we may seriously accept what you're calling us to receive. And that we'll take seriously the words of the book, because we realize there's a day coming. There's a day coming when a new dispensation will be instituted. And I don't want to miss that dispensation. I want to be found worthy. And I want to be called faithful. And I believe every person here wants that as well. And so, Lord, we judge ourselves. we look at the demonstrations of our faith. And we ask you, Father God, first to forgive us if we've missed it. And we ask you, Lord, by your Spirit, that you would empower us from this moment forward, just like Enoch did, to walk with you. From this moment, and for the rest of our lives until you return, help us to be faithful to your calling. Because we know there'll be a day when the door is closed. And no amount of repentance is going to change that. We want to be found worthy, Lord. And so, Father God, I want to walk with you. You need to say that, folks, to the Lord right now. Father God, I want to walk with you. I want to know you in a greater way. I want my lifestyle to show evidence of Bible faith. I want my works not just to be natural works, but works of faith. And I'm asking you to help me. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Praise the Lord.